يلتهب كل جمعة قلبي واقرأ لك يا المهد ندبة أبي رضوى أم سواها أنت يا أغلى الأحبة أنت يا أغلى الأحبة وتدري بفراق الحبايب غربة يا مهدينا غربة تدري بفراق الحبايب غربة يا مهدينا غربة.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لولاية أمير المؤمنين، وصلى الله على أشرف الخلق وعز المرسلين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيد الخلائق أجمعين أبي القاسم محمد. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، سفن النجاة وعين الحياة، من طهرهم الله بنص كتابه المبين وجعل اللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
إن شاء الله tonight we will start a new research about the Imam of our time. Tonight it will be an introduction to explain the methodology that we will follow in this research. Research is an art of scientific investigation. When you investigate about new facts that are related to one topic. And they say that research is a movement from the known to the unknown. It's a movement from what you know to what you do not know. From the known to the unknown. So the unknown will become known, and that's what knowledge is all about, to discover what is unknown. Therefore, I do not want to repeat the information that people already know about the Imam of our time, Ajallah Farajahu Sharif. Because the research is about bringing new facts and speaking about some points that are not known between the majority of, let's say, the English speakers, the believers from the English speakers. So that's why you will see that the research is going to be a bit different. Usually when you want to study a life of a certain person, you will start by mentioning his name, his lineage, where he was born, and so on. But I want to start the opposite. Tonight, I want to speak about the occultation of Imam al-Mahdi, ajallah farajahu al-sharif. We know that we have two occultations, two ghaiba, the minor one and the major occultation, al-ghaiba, al-ghaiba al-sura and al-ghaiba al-kubra. But before speaking in details about the minor occultation and the major one, and the age of the Imam and proving that he is alive and the possibility of him being alive until today, before that I want to study the philosophy behind the occultation of the Imam, Ajallah Ta'ala Farajahu al-Sharif. Why is the Imam in the Ghaiba? Why is the Imam in the Ghaiba? Perhaps we can give five reasons behind the occultation of our Imam, Ajallah Ta'ala Farajahu al-Sharif. But before I start mentioning the reasons, please recite aloud Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
The first reason behind the occultation of the Imam is al-hadar, caution. Caution is something that Allah Azza wa Jal asked the believers in general, and especially the prophets and their successors, salawatullahi alayhim, to take care of, to be caution in their movement. Allah Azza wa Jal said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, khudu hadarakum. O you who believe, be caution. So the prophets and their successors and the believers in general, they must be caution in their movement. When you have a movement, when you have a message that you want to deliver, you must study the best time and the best place to deliver this message. Otherwise, you're not going to be successful. That's why we'll find, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he followed this principle of al-hadar, of caution, when he stayed in Ghar Hira, the cave of Hira, for certain years, until the situation were good for him to start his movement. And we find that Prophet Musa alayhi salam also, due to the problems that he faced in his community, he went away from them. He went away from them. And occultation or al-ghaiba is to be away from the community. The community will not be able to see you, or the majority of the community will not be able to see you. Musa alayhi salam, when he faced a problem in his community, what did he say? He said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, فَفَرَرْتُ مِنْكُمْ لَمَّا خِفْتُكُمْ. And I fled away when I feared you. I stayed away, I went away from you. Why? Out of caution. And of course, the meaning of fear here is not being scared of death, as some people claim about Nabiullah Musa salamullahi alayhi. They built some fairy tales about Prophet Musa that he was scared from death, and he used to run away from the angel of death. If he used to see the angel of death, he used to run away from him. That's all fairy tales, and we do not accept it on the prophets, because the pious people are not scared from death. The true believers, they are not scared from death. They say the person who is scared from death, he is scared from his own self. The pious people, the true believers, they look at death as a stage that will make them closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. They will look at death as a stage that will make them closer to their beloved. Then how about the prophets, salawatullahi alayhim, who will believe that they are infallible, that they are ma'sumin? So of course, Nabiullah Musa, when he was scared on his movement, and he was scared on the religion, and that's why he left the community. Also, we find that Allah Azza wa Jal kept Prophet Idris alayhi salam away from his community for 20 years. And in other narrations it says for more than 20 years. And that's also kind of occultation, ghaiba. Why? Out of caution, out of al-hadar. The same thing with Nabiullah Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Allah took him away from his community due to the situation back then, and due to al-hadar, due to being caution. So we see that the point of taking care of the point of being caution is something that all the prophets practiced. And the same with Imam al-Mahdi ajallah ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. Allah took him away from the community or kept him away from the people in this community out of caution. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now the second reason behind the occultation of Imam al-Mahdi ajallahu farajahu al-sharif is to discipline the nation, ta'dibu al-umma, to discipline this nation. Because this Islamic nation is the main reason behind the occultation of Imam al-Mahdi. After the people stood against the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and left the successor or the Khalifa that Allah appointed, when they left Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam and followed the oppressors, their mentality became corrupted. Because the oppressors who came and controlled the Islamic nation after the martyrdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, they collected all the narrations of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi. And I always repeat this point because it's very important. In any topic, in any lecture, I'll try as much as I can to repeat this point. They collected all the narrations of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and burnt them. They burnt all the narrations of Rasulullah. And they committed the first educational crime in history. If we had some courts back then that deal with knowledge and education, Allah knows what would they have done with Abu Bakr and Umar. So they came and burned the narrations of Rasulullah and created a gap due to that between the Muslims and the knowledge, the true knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he tried to save the ummah. He came to them and said, I have the book of Allah, the Quran. I wrote down the Quran and I explained every verse of the Quran. They said, we do not need your book. We do not accept your book, Ali. So he took the book back. And they said, Hasbuna Kitabullah, the book that we have between us. Then they banned everyone from narrating a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And some of the companions were banned to narrate one narration from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Why? Because they want the people to be away from the true teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And they kept the door open to her who was allowed to narrate the fabricated narration. They opened a company for the fabricated narrations. And then after the oppressors, Bani Umayyah came and they misguided people more than before. Then Banu al-Abbas came and they fought Ahlul Bayt more than Bani Umayyah. So this ummah is the main reason behind the occultation of the Imam. They fought the Imams. The Imam alayhi salam used to stand and say to them, سَلُونِي قَبْلَ أَن تَفْقِدُونِي. Ask me, someone used to say to him, how many white hairs do I have? Very ignorant people. So Allah, He wants to discipline this ummah through the occultation of the Imam. He wants this ummah, this nation, to reach a stage where they will start asking for a savior to come and save them. That's how Allah wants to discipline the nation. perhaps now people are not aware about the Imam of our time, or the majority of the people from the non-Shia, they are not aware about the Imam of our time, and they know nothing about it. So how Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to discipline this Ummah if they know nothing about this Imam? I say yes, perhaps now they know nothing about the Imam. But when the problems and the disasters will become a normal routine for people, they will start asking and for a savior. Allah Azza wa Jalla will send the savior, the Imam, Ajallah Ta'ala Farajahu Ash-Sharif. And that's how he wants to discipline this nation. And inshallah, in the coming night, we'll speak about how the idea of having a savior is not something that is limited to the school of thought of the Ahlul Bayt. And it's not something that is limited to the Islamic religion. We'll speak about it, inshallah, in the future. Because yes, we hear from a lot of the speakers, they say, the idea of Imam al-Mahdi is not only limited to the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt. And it's not limited to the Islamic religion. It's for all religions. So come and explain to us how it's not limited. Where do we have proofs from other religions or not? Inshallah, that's what we'll speak about in the coming nights. We'll see how the Hindus, they believe in the idea of having a savior, the Buddhists, the Jews, and so on. They believe in this idea. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The third reason behind the occultation of the Imam, Ajallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, is a trial for the people. It's a trial, a test for the people. Through the occultation of the Imam, everything will be clear. The hypocrites will be known, and the misguided groups will also be known, and those who have sickness in their hearts, they will leave this path. Those who are sick in their hearts, they will leave this path, and the believers will stay following this aqa'id, this religion, which will make it easier on the believers to work for the reappearance of the Imam. Why? If you go back during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, or during the time of our 11th Imams, from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib to Imam Al-Hasan ibn Ali al-Askari salawatullahi alayhim ajma'in. If you go back to their time, you'll see that some of those who claim to be the companions of Rasulullah, and those who claimed to be the companions of the Imams, they were hypocrites. Some of them, they were hypocrites. And we don't believe in the idea of infallibility of all the companions, as some people do. We don't believe that the companions are infallible. Just because he is a companion, he is infallible. There's no proofs for it. So now, some of the companions of Rasulullah, some of the companions of the Imams, they were hypocrites. And they used to work with the true followers of the Ahlul Bayt through companions, and that made it hard on the true believers to work in their movement, because the hypocrites will come and try to destroy everything that they are doing and so on. But now, after this trial through the occultation of the Imam, this trial, the believers will get to know who are the hypocrites and who are the misguided people, and then the believers will come and unite together. They will join together and do a unity together and work for the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi Ajallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Now, the fourth reason behind the occultation of Imam al-Mahdi Ajallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif is human integration and intellectual maturity. People who belong to different communities, different backgrounds, different races, they will reach a stage where they will start questioning the ideologies that they follow. Let it be the religious ideologies, the political ideologies, and so on. People will reach a stage where they will start saying, why can't we find answers about our beliefs? How are we following a religion that we can't ask questions in it? And if we can't ask questions, we can't find answers. They will start refusing their religious ideologies. And then they will start refusing the political ideologies that they are following. They will say, look at the politicians who are destroying the world. Look at some countries that are occupying and invading this world. They will start questioning and leaving the ideologies that they follow. Our obligation is to guide them to the path of Islam. Because the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is not limited to the believers only. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was not sent to the believers or to the Muslims. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He was sent as a mercy to all mankind, to all things that exist around you, to this world, to the other world, to this planet, to the other planets, and so on. So all the people are from the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everyone. But we have three groups in this nation. A group that until now, they didn't find the light. They didn't find the truth yet. They follow different ideologies, different religion. And until now, they didn't have a chance to find the truth. Another group, they got misguided from the truth. They were born as Muslims. But later on, they got misguided due to what the oppressors did in the beginning of Islam. And the third group are the true believers who are following the correct teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who are following the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. The obligation of the believers, the true believers, is to come and guide the other groups. To guide the other groups from the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Introduce them to the spiritual side of Islam. Maybe they can find the solution for a lot of the problems that they are facing. Introduce them to the political side of Islam, the economic side of Islam. Maybe they will find what they are after. And that's one of the reasons of the occultation of Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. We need to work for the reappearance of the Imam through knowledge. See, the hypocrites or the enemies of Rasulullah, the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, attacked him by rocks and by stones. But the enemies of Imam al-Mahdi, they will attack him by knowledge. They will attack the Imam through knowledge. And the Imam, he will answer back through knowledge. The war between, or one side of the war between the Imam and his enemies is through knowledge. And he, one of the ways to prove that he is the Imam of the time, through showing a high stage of knowledge and wisdom. Because we believe the Imam must be the most knowledgeable person in the community. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad
wa ali Muhammad.
Now, fifth reason behind the occultation of the Imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, is not to give a pledge to an oppressor or a tyrant. If you study the time of all the Imams, from Imam Ali alayhi salam to Imam Hassan bin Ali al-Askari, some of them, they had to give a pledge to the tyrant of their time, right? Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam, he had to sign an agreement with Muawiyah la'natullahi alayhi, for the sake of protecting the Islamic nation and the believers. But the Imam al-Mahdi ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, he will not give a pledge to any of the tyrants, to any of the oppressors. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, the owner of this matter, meaning the Imam al-Mahdi ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, his birth will be hidden from the people. And we explained last week when we spoke about the martyrdom of Imam Hassan bin Ali al-Askari, why the birth of Imam Mahdi was hidden, right? He will be away from them, so he does not have to give a pledge to any of the oppressors when he appears. Then we have a narration from Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, himself, which is mentioned in Bihar al-Anwar, chapter 53, page 181. He says, the Imam, إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ آبَائِي إِلَّا وَقَدْ وَقَعَتْ فِي عُنُقِهِ بَيْعَةٌ لِطَاغِيَةِ زَمَانِهِ وَإِنِّي أَخْرُجُ حِينَ أَخْرُجُ وَلَا بَيْعَةً لِأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الطَّوَاغِيتِ فِي عُنُقِهِ. Everyone from my forefathers was committed by a pledge to the tyrant of his time. And the time of my rising, for the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi, I will rise without being committed by a pledge of allegiance to any of the tyrants. So that's the five reasons behind the occultation of Imam al-Mahdi ajallahu ta'ala. Now after we understand the reasons behind this occultation, we have to ask ourselves, how should we work for the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi? How should we work for his reappearance? I believe the best way to work for the reappearance of the Imam is to get to know who is your Imam. Before working on other sites, start with this point, to get to know who is the Imam. And when I say who is the Imam, the answer should not be the Imam is Imam Muhammad bin al-Hassan al-Askari, and just to mention his name. In Arabic we say there's al-Ma'rif al-Maqamiyya and al-Ma'rif al-Ismiyya, to know the name of the Imam, and to know al-Ma'rif al-Maqamiyya, to know the status of the Imam, maqam of the Imam. Because it is not enough to just know the name of the Imam alayhi salam, to be considered as a true believer, it's not enough to know the name of the Imam. You have to know the status of your Imam. Inshallah, that's what we will speak about in the coming weeks, about how to know the Imam of our time. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.